This is Health Yeah, your weekly update on what's going on in the health, wellness, and medical world with Monica Robbins.
It may not surprise you to know that heart disease and cancer are typically the top two leading causes of death in the U.S. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control. But did you also know that many of these diseases can be prevented or managed by getting your lifestyle in check and making those routine checkups and screenings? All right, gentlemen, I'm talking to you because today we're focusing on men's health. And listen up, because what we're talking about can not only save your life, it may even improve your sex life. Pay attention, guys. Your prescription for life is next. Now, most American men believe they are leading a very healthy lifestyle. According to a national survey by Cleveland Clinic, though, it shows the habits and behaviors of many men tell a very different story. So ask yourself if you're one of them. 44% do not get a yearly physical. 44% do not prioritize mental health. And 49% do not keep a healthy diet. The survey also highlighted some of men's biggest health concerns. And believe it or not, one of those major concerns is mental health. Thanks to the pandemic, attention to mental health is no longer a taboo subject to talk about. Yet experts say men are still less likely to seek treatment compared to women. We'll get into the why and how to change that with our expert here today. But first, a story of hope and inspiration. An Arkansas man encourages others to set aside any preconceived notions about mental health and take the same leap of faith that he did. Here's reporter Journey Taylor from our station KTHB.
I started my career in 1999.
So green and happy, ready to save the world. It's the reason many young men go into emergency services. But there's a side to playing Superman that's not talked about often.
For me, it was some really bad calls south of Houston. I had to respond to some things that people shouldn't see. And realizing that and realizing my actions after that, to the point that we moved to get away from the area.
Scott Gann's mental health became more apparent while working as a paramedic and experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. It's something that's impacted his life on and off the job.
I noticed that I was very standoffish. I was not approachable. I just wasn't a nice person at the end of the day, all from cumulative stress.
Gann says that stress started to build, leading to unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Alcohol was definitely one of the biggest ones that I used. It manifested in anger a lot. Sometimes you get to a point that you don't know how to process it. And so in desperation, the one thing that will always ring true, desperate people do desperate things.
Sometimes those are healthy, sometimes they're not healthy.
UAMS psychiatrist Scott Steele says in a lot of ways, many men aren't well right now.
You want to treat yourself like somebody you're responsible for helping.
They may feel that enduring and being tough for the ones around them is what's best.
Men do tend to think in terms of, you know, what have they done? How is their job going? Are they providing? Because it's really important to a lot of men that they do provide, you know, whether for their family or for their community. When they feel like they're coming up short, that's a time when men can struggle quite a bit.
He says for some, they're thinking in terms of action and not so much in terms of feelings, often avoiding their mental health as a whole.
We don't appreciate how complicated things might be for somebody. That there might be a reason why somebody does what they do, even though other people might really find that to not be a healthy thing. Men are 3 times more likely to die from suicide than women are. And those rates are increasing.
Although there's no way to pinpoint how or why mental health becomes a problem for each individual, many times it starts young. You've heard the phrase, man up.
I've actually been guilty of saying that, even to my daughter, absolutely. And typically it's we don't know how to deal with the emotions.
But experts like Steele say manning up has been bringing men down.
One thing that we want to be careful of not doing is what we call invalidating what they're feeling. They're feeling that for a certain reason. If we invalidate that, then men will come to not trust how they're feeling, and they won't come to trust their inner voice.
Steele adds that men seek treatment for mental health a lot less than women, despite the fact that treatments work just as well for them. And when men do look to speak with someone, they typically want to share with men.
It's something like 80% of psychologists are female.
And Gann is aware, taking a step away from emergency services and now serving lives as a mental health first aid instructor with Arkansas Rural Health Partnership.
They brought me in to teach paramedics, police officers, firefighters, and that's kind of my specialty. And we're able to talk about true mental health and coping skills.
There are many ways mental health problems can come about, but both men say seeking help is always a start. And doctors, therapists, and loved ones are there to work with you.
Really, it's the two of us together trying to figure this out.
We don't need a month. Mental health is every single day.
Now, our Cleveland Clinic expert digs deeper into men's health and why men do not mention major health issues or take steps to prevent them, and what people in their lives can do to encourage and support them. Joining me now is Dr. Scott Lundy, a reproductive urologist at Cleveland Clinic. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course, thanks for having me.
The Mention Survey, It's 8 years now,
yep.
But kind of explain, what is it?
Yeah, so the Mention Survey is a product that Cleveland Clinic puts out. It's a survey of men across the nation of 1,000 men, and the goal is to put the finger on the pulse of America's men and see what the health issues are, the medical issues are, what's important to them, what aspects of health they may not know enough about, so that we can help provide better care for these men.
Was there a major issue that came out of the study?
I think the themes are consistent from year to year. There's always the theme of men not pursuing health care early enough or aggressively enough when the time is right. The theme of men perhaps not taking well enough care of themselves or sacrificing their health for other things. The theme of mental health and the importance of that and the stigma around seeking help for that. These things always come up, and we see this regularly both in surveys, but we also see it in our patients.
That's a lot to unpack, so yeah. let's get started. So the specific health challenges that men face that they need to be critically aware of, because the longer they wait, the worse they can be.
Yeah, there's obviously focal specific issues that men should not ignore. Blood in the urine, blood in the stool, these sort of granular things. But the problem is bigger than that. And the problem is related to the culture around what's expected of being a man, or what that society expects of man from a preconceived notion perspective. And that feeds into healthcare as well. So the issue is both small and large, and we have to address both of those together to do a good job.
Because if they suck it up, buttercup, and don't do anything, then they're a real man. But
yeah, I think that's part of it. I think the idea of going to a doctor and potentially having a painful or invasive procedure or workup, or finding out bad news, it's hard for everybody, but men suffer from that too.
But are you finding that they don't, the message, because I know one of the messages that women got, especially when relating to breast cancer, mm-hmm. the earlier you find it, the easier it is to treat. Mm-hmm. Is that message not getting through to men?
I think it is. I think if you asked most men, would you rather be diagnosed with prostate cancer when you're young or old, they would understand intuitively that the answer is younger. But understanding that and acting on it are two different things. And so we as healthcare professionals have an obligation to continue spreading this message so that we can identify opportunities to help the men earlier in life and cure them, as you aptly pointed out, as opposed to simply treating a condition where the cat's out of the bag, so to speak.
So one of the biggest factors that you have in many cases is their partner.
Mm-hmm.
So asking for a friend.
Yeah.
What does the partner do to get him to the doctor? Just get him to an annual exam.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, I'm a little bit unique in that I'm a reproductive urologist. So a big part of my practice is caring for young, healthy men who are struggling to have a child. And the draw for them to come see me is very strong, particularly from the perspective of their partner. So many men come and see me begrudgingly because their partner has asked, demanded, that they be seen for the opportunity to have a child. And that's a outstanding opportunity for someone like me to get that man involved in healthcare in a period in his life where he otherwise may not have. And we can identify other healthcare issues that may be related to infertility or may not be, but it's a foot in the door. And that's a responsibility for us to take advantage of that. And I think most men who come in and we spend half an hour talking about reproductive organs and cracking some jokes, it tends not to be as off-putting as they might have expected before they arrived.
Do you find that when it comes to sexual health, men are far more likely to go see a doctor than it is to for their just general heart health or any other health?
I think high blood pressure, the silent disease, as they say, is a really difficult sell for men because they feel fine. I think it's harder when they've ignored that hypertension for 30 years and all of a sudden they have erection problems. That's not fine. And so these diseases and conditions will compound on themselves and cause a problem that will actually force a man to come in because his priorities have then been changed or have been damaged. But at that point, there's less we can do. And the earlier we can get a hold of this and get a diagnosis made and treatment started, the less likely that problem will snowball.
So what are some of the conditions that men need to be aware of? Because, and this is just like the bait, if you will, but because if you don't take care of these things, you mentioned high blood pressure, it may impact your sexual health down the road.
For sure. I think erections are a really good window into overall health. So is fertility. Men who have poor erections often have heart disease that manifests 5 years later because the blood vessels in the two areas are the exact same in size and shape. And they'll notice the erection problems before they notice or acknowledge the chest pain. Men with fertility concerns have an increased risk of mortality, even as young men. And we don't understand necessarily why, but we can help identify those problems. And so it becomes a canary in the coal mine, if you will, where we can identify a sign of other problems going on. Blood in the urine, for example, is a great one. Men see blood in the urine once and they say, oh, it's fine, it's no problem, but it's never normal. And if we can identify that and we find a polyp or a tumor in the bladder, we can make a huge impact in that man's life.
Diet and exercise, universal, but what's different about it relating to men?
Diet and exercise plays a key role in every aspect of urologic health, from bladder function, from erectile function, from testicle function. It increases the testosterone levels, which improves mood and energy levels and sex drive. It decreases other risk factors and other risks for other diseases. It really is the magic cure that everyone wants, but I acknowledge that it's work and it's effort. And I think finding a way to begin the process of just make one little change in diet or exercise and let that one stick. And then the next week, add another one and I'll, you know, break the habit slowly.
You know, we've done stories on this, but I know as men age, you know, they with women, they call it menopause. And I think that's a universal term. It should be, because men go through testosterone decreases and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they don't recognize it.
Yeah.
What do you want them to know that this is normal, but there's treatment for it?
Yeah. Right? I think that's an important issue because there's two sides to it. Society has dictated that testosterone is a critical hormone for the body, and it is. But men come and see us because they're worried their testosterone is low because they have low energy, when they're ignoring the fact that their diabetes is not controlled and their sleep apnea is not controlled and they're overweight. So it's not the only cause for these problems, and it's our job to determine whether it's truly the cause or it's a side effect of these other issues that need treatment first. That being said, low testosterone is a problem and causes low sex drive and low energy. And if we can treat that appropriately for men in a safe way, we can make a huge impact in their lives. So I think listening to your body and listening to your partner, and if your partner has concerns about your performance or if you have concerns and you can have an honest discussion with your partner about that, then that is a sign that maybe you should talk to somebody about this. And I know it's awkward to talk about erections with a complete stranger, somebody you've just met, but I always tell patients, for you, this is a pretty weird day. For me, it's a Wednesday. You know, every patient I see has these issues, so all I want to do is help.
What's the best driver, if you will, to get a man to at least go get his annual physical, go get, know his numbers, that sort of thing?
I think The stick is not a good motivator. The carrot is a better motivator. And so if we as a society or as individuals can find ways to support in a positive way the men in our lives and encourage them to go in, not because of the negativity of healthcare, but of the positive benefits where we can increase their overall quality of life, that's important. And that tends to work better. And I find that for treatments for erections or for fertility, if we can show them a number that says, here's evidence of what's going wrong in your body, and then we can show them a solution several months later of, here's a child, or here's an erection that's better, and performance that's better, and energy level that's better, then we've been able to show cause and effect. And that, I find, is a really powerful message.
What did the mentioned survey find relating to mental health?
Mental health is a huge part of overall well-being, and particularly sexual health. We talk a lot about this because many young men even come in and tell us about how their erections aren't working, and they think that it's a blood flow problem. But they're young and healthy, and the problem is that they've had a bad experience or two, and then every time the opportunity arises, they're anxious and they're worried. And that worry manifests as adrenaline. And adrenaline is the most potent type of inhibitor of erections that we know of. So by having that anxiety creep in, their body's almost sabotaging themselves. And so we can fix that. And that's related to men's health and their mental health in particular.
Managing stress as well.
Huge, a big part of it, yeah. Stress is a key aspect of sexual health, of overall well-being and energy. It also increases the risk of many other diseases. And so while we can't tell you to quit your stressful job or cut stress out of your life entirely, there are many professionals out there whose entire job it is to help manage these stress levels and find coping strategies. And we often refer patients to those types of providers because they can make such a big difference.
When you find the patient who is really hesitant to come see you and perhaps waited a bit too long, but finally made it, and then you give them the, you know, the laundry list of diagnoses that he has control over, what happens to that patient?
I think that that's a very slippery slope, because if we provide too much bad news too fast, or we paint such a dim picture that there doesn't appear to be hope, then we've harmed that patient. And it's not any wrongdoing on our part. We're simply relaying the facts. But there's an art to medicine, and that art is finding a way to deliver news at the level of the patient, both from an educational and knowledge perspective, but also meeting them halfway in terms of the emotional aspects of things. And if we can find common ground and work together and establish that bond where he comes to see me not only because he has to, but because he wants to, because we have a good half an hour discussion about the topic of their choosing, then we can start to really forge ahead and help health.
One of the things we see all the time is, you know, as I'm watching television with my husband, all the different commercials that are coming out targeting young men and also explaining to young men that the problems they may be having that they thought only happened to older men are not. They're, you know, they happen to younger men as well. But then there's all the supplements and all the others. So from your perspective, if you were to tell men and their partners, please be aware of, what would it be?
I think if a solution is too good to be true, then perhaps it is. We hear a lot about these revolutionary treatments for these conditions that make all the difference in the world. Sometimes they happen to be quite expensive, by the way, as well, in the fine print. And if there's an advertisement for a product, as a medical professional, it's easy for me to distinguish what's true and what's not true. I go to the primary data, the published papers, and I rely on that. It's harder as a consumer because consumers don't have access to that. They don't know how to interpret it. But I think there's a gut feeling of, you know, this seems not right. And while I hope that message is relayed and that people are savvy enough to understand that, I will say that many are not, because they're holding on to a thread of hope, and it's hope about a part of their life that they don't want to lose. So we see this all the time, and it's really sad when people have pursued treatments that have no possibility of working, but that may have cost a fortune, when a much less expensive, much less involved treatment might have been enough for them. So there are clearly products that are out there that can help, but you have to just ask yourself deep inside, does this pass the sniff test?
You mentioned that a lot of times it's just an uncomfortable conversation for a man to have. Yeah. You know, women are used to it. We have to go see, you know, the GYN all the time. But for a man, typically, it's not an easy discussion. But what I find is concerning is speaking of these particular supplements mm-hmm. that make a whole lot of promises. Mm-hmm. That men may go to the pharmacy or order them online, not realizing if they are on particular medications that can have an impact. For example, if I'm not mistaken, saw palmetto mm-hmm. and high blood pressure medicine. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of talk to people about, you know, if you're going to take some of these supplements, maybe you really should check with your doctor.
Sure. So it's not infrequent that I see a young man for fertility concerns and we have a discussion about his care and the medications he's on, and maybe we don't ever reach the point where he talks to me about the testosterone that he's taking. And we get blood work back and all of a sudden it's crystal clear to me that he's been taking treatment for testosterone. And that's a challenge because now I have to go back and discuss with him that the reason he's infertile is because he's taking this medication that may not have been prescribed by a physician and that he didn't tell me about, but is the source of his problem. And he may not even know that that's the reason why he can't have a child. But we now know and we have to find a way past that to work together. Another example would be an erection medication like Viagra, for example. There's a recreational drug that was more popular in the past, but still used, called poppers. And if people take poppers when they use Viagra, they can have a horrifically low blood pressure and get really sick and even die. So it's on us to talk about that, but it's also on the patients to recognize and to acknowledge that healthcare providers are there to help. And I think that that trust is really important. And I hope to see that trust not get eroded over time, but perhaps be reinforced in the coming years and decades and throughout my career.
Final thoughts. What do you want to tell men?
Yeah, I think the idea of what society tells you that you should be as a man is far less important than what you should be and what the people around you think you should be. And that the stigma is only harming you. And so talk about your problems. Open up to your concerns with your friends, with your loved ones. Don't be afraid to seek out doctors, even urologists. I promise we're not that scary. We have some really good jokes. And find the time to prioritize your own health in the midst of a really busy world and busy schedule. If you don't do it, no one's gonna do it for you.
Self-care is not selfish.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
All right, Dr. Lundy, thank you so much.
Yeah,
great insight.
You. Yeah.
That's all for this edition of Prescription for Life. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Monica Robbins, and I'll bring you another prescription next week. Until then, wishing you good health.
Thank you so much for tuning into Health Yeah. Please find me on Twitter and Instagram at Monica Robbins. Like and follow my Facebook page, Monica Robbins WKYC. Find video podcasts at Monica Robbins' channel on YouTube. And please subscribe. Wishing you great health and hope to see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Health Yeah with Monica Robbins from WKYC Studios. Subscribe now so you never miss an update. And find more on everything you heard here on WKYC.com and on the WKYC app.